Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mandalorian Half Hour. I'm Andrew Jupin, alongside, well, electronically alongside, Christopher Cabin, Eric Siska, and Steven Sadak, back in the remote sesh for the show, which is fine. Last week we were in studio, just happened to be the luck of the draw.
Right, and in these sessions we're droids.
Mm-hmm.
That's beep, right, your gross pit droids.
We're the little camera droids from the prequels.
Nobody wanted to see those guys come back, right?
I hated it. I really didn't like it. I thought it was distracting. I thought they looked bad. I thought it was so CG-erific when this show has shown restraint otherwise.
Yeah. So this is Chapter 5, The Gunslinger, written and directed by Dave Filoni and fans of the Star Wars animated shows that have been out over the past few years or so will recognize that name. He was one of the creators of Clone Wars and Resistance, and most involved in Rebels, which is the show I'm currently watching and liking it enough.
Yeah, I mean, that show is good, but it's still for children. I mean, I guess everything is for children. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, this whole fucking operation is for children.
I mean, everything is for children. War is for children. There are child soldiers out
there. Yeah, get them kids on the battlefield, dude.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing I kind of butt up against is like, this is not a prestige drama. The dude's wearing a cape the entire time. Like, let's all relax.
Very, very true, Steve.
Is he trying to get money from Brian Cox? I forgot.
And
that's coming up later.
Star Wars Rebels is a half an hour as well, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, that's a pretty big influence on this show, I think, then.
I think also Resistance is around that length. Oscar Isaac in the pilot of that show, by the way.
Oh, really? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you get him for an afternoon. He's like, yeah, sure, why not?
I'll read these lines.
Is he playing Poe Dameron? Or?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
It's not just him as himself.
It's just Oscar Isaac.
Earth actor Oscar Isaac.
So this episode starts with a pretty awesome little dogfight here. Mando is being chased around the galaxy by this other bounty hunter that looks like Christoph Waltz.
I couldn't tell. I'm putting money on it. I think that might be Sean Gunn. I couldn't tell, but it might be. I don't know, right? Am I nuts, or maybe I'm nuts?
Is this guy not credited on the... let me look at the old IMDb here.
Maybe it's one of the other Gunn brothers.
Oh, the Gunn brothers. Man, those guys fucking stepped in it.
Jamie Gunn.
There's a guy, an actor here, Brendan Wayne.
Oh, I guess that must be him.
He's
okay.
The double for Mando.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, no, they don't have a listing here on IMDb. So I guess it's possible, Steve, that your gun dream could come
true. Sean Gunn, Jamie Gunn.
Billard Gunn.
Barbecue Gunn. Deep-fried Gunn.
Uh-oh, here come the Gunn brothers. He's going to get his brother into all sorts of mocap suits.
Ironically, one of the Gunn brothers, Gummo Gunn, was knifed to death, actually.
Oh, that's sad.
Calamity Gunn drowned in his own swimming pool.
This battle's pretty cool. Mando fucking ices this dude immediately, though, because he steals his line.
I love this. Yeah, I love the space battles. I think the show could use maybe a little more of these.
It was nice. I realized that there weren't space battles when I was watching this space battle. I was like, oh, right, Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've previously praised the fact that this is like Star Wars on planets and stuff. So this was a nice, like, you know, just kind of like easing into a warm bath, like Star Wars space battles. But I hope that the show continues to use the restraint that it's used so far.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we get a little taste right here, but not too much.
It's nice to break it up a little bit. I do appreciate the whole, like, he hits the space brakes to outmaneuver this guy and shoot him down.
Yeah, totally. And you fucking see this dude cooking up, too. It's pretty awesome.
I wasn't crazy about that's my line. I'm like, come on, guys.
Oh, I dug it, dude.
I was fine with it. Okay.
But it's kind of awesome, too, like, when he cooks up, it's not your traditional Star Wars, like, ship explosion. There's all this, like, I don't know if this dude had illegal fireworks in his ship or something. Like, you see all the colors and stuff blew up?
He stopped at Space Pennsylvania on the way up.
Some roadside fireworks stand.
Well, it wouldn't be Independence Day. We already have Life Day. I guess it would be like Breath Day is coming up, and that's the fireworks Star Wars festival.
Breath Day, yeah, I like that.
I just passed the moon of Philadelphia.
Well, for him, it was a bad breath day.
I do. Oh, nice. I do love. I always wondered in Star Wars. So, like, Mando gets shot up. His spaceship kind of stops. It's all dark in there. I'm like, at what point is the air a problem? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's a great question. I don't know that we've ever had, like, Star Wars, there's a problem with the oxygen.
Yes.
And is the helmet, like, can he just, like, is there, like, a filtration system in there for, like...
That's how he handles the bad breath, dude.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel like that has to be there.
I feel like if the air went out of the ship, like, Mandalorian would just be like, good thing that I got this helmet on because it's just pumping in air, and it's good thing that Baby Yoda has a Force helmet on.
Yeah, seriously, otherwise he'd turn blue.
Too bad for you, Baby Yoda. Should have been a Mandalorian.
Dude,
oh, my God,
Baby
what if that's
Yoda...
the end of the... That's yes. the end of this, is he becomes a Mandalorian.
Yeah, dude, he gets the little, he gets like a Baby Yoda-sized helmet. Fucking awesome.
He just touches down on Tatooine and he's got like a popsicle Baby Yoda.
Oh my God, maybe it'll happen. He's a foundling.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He could be.
You know what though? If they put a little helmet on that thing, it would probably be adorable for like one episode, but then I'd be missing his fucking cute little eyes.
Oh, dude, we got to see him like clip the ears. Like Mando's just cutting those ears back.
No, I want to get it. I want it to be pierced like Harrison Ford.
Oh,
and just
nice.
Have a little earring on there.
Yeah, I think that's the move.
Baby Yoda's now dating Callista Flockhart.
He goes all out for Halloween, too.
You know, most nights we just sit at home and, you know, cuddle and watch a movie.
And then David Blaine came by and did a magic trick.
Oh, right.
Remember that? What was that short-lived show? There was some show.
It was
show.
A special, I think.
It was like David Blaine's Street Fartin' Man or something.
Just like, and he was going to all these high celebrities' houses. The best was Will Smith. He had 100 people at his house, and they were all stoned.
So in true Star Wars fashion, the grand tradition of breaking down and having to pull into Mos Eisley, by the way.
Right. We get Mos Eisley air traffic controllers saying where to land and stuff. Now, that's a job I want to hear more about. Give me a novel about that guy.
They probably have. I, you know, some people I saw were crazy about returning to Tatooine.
Oh,
I was into
on.
It. I
of
was
course.
Into it.
Of course. It's fun as fuck.
What's the problem with returning to it?
Well, they're like, oh, man, you know, I thought it was going to be new planets all the time. Beep-a-dee-bop. Like, no, come on. Let's do it.
There's a Baby Yoda. What the fuck are you talking about?
And also, I mean, like, this Navarro planet, Dave Navarro planet, you know, like, which I cannot stop laughing about the name of that planet. But, like, there's your new planet, buddy. Fucking come on.
Well, that planet hasn't been the same since it divorced Carmen Electra.
Is that planet like a reference to like the guns of the Navarone or whatever?
Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, maybe. That's kind of cool. I hadn't thought of that. But so, yeah, he breaks down. He's got to pull in. He's told to pull into Docking Bay 3-5. I was hoping it was 94.
That would be that'd be a little too far, I think.
Yeah, well, there was... Did anybody read the Tribune trivia for this episode?
I did not.
No.
Unsurprisingly, there's tons of useless garbage on there, including one thing that's like... Mando's instructed to land in Docking Bay 3-5, although it looks suspiciously like a certain Docking Bay 94.
Shut up.
Dude, it's a fucking parking space. Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
It's a parking garage and the same town. It's going to look the same.
Well, that's the thing. It's like him and three of his friends, one's holding an air conditioner, and it's like, well, which Docking Bay were we? Was it 94? I heard 35.
I was kind of expecting there to be like a, like, this is after Return of the Jedi, so I assume like Luke Skywalker had like a statue of Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru put up in the town square.
Oh, fuck,
a memorial. The
Crispy
Griddles memorial.
It's Uncle Owen and Aunt Who for Luke Skywalker after A New Hope. I'll tell you that much. You just think about those fuckers.
Classic new parent mistake, by the way. Mando leaves Baby Yoda in the car.
What the fuck is that, dude?
He left the window open a crack. Come on.
I think he's like, I'm putting him in this little like isolation chamber, like nobody's gonna find him and he can take a nap.
Yeah.
I guess. Very irresponsible, Mando.
We should say Amy Sedaris shows up, keeping with our 1990s alt comedian casting choices, which I liked her in this episode a lot.
Oh, yeah, she's great. She's playing Peli Moto, great Star Wars name.
Yeah, how about her sister, Sibo Moto? Wasn't that a band, Chris?
Yeah, it's Chiba Motto.
Chiba Motto, sorry.
Peli Moto. Or that commercial.
with John Lennon's son in it.
What's the commercial? Hello, Moto. Remember that advertising campaign?
Oh, yeah.
So it's pretty great. She immediately calls him a womp rat for shooting at her shitty pit droids. But you know what? Right call. Shooting at those pit droids. Fuck these things.
I think they're so distracting, honestly.
I was okay with it. It kind of makes sense, obviously, like that those things would be around. You would use them. Like it shows she's like an old, like she's using older technology, et cetera, et cetera. But like nobody wanted those things back.
That's one thing if you make the joke of like now they're old and like barely work. But they're spry as shit.
Yeah.
Well, she's
true.
Keeping them, you know, greased up and whatnot. She's a professional.
Got to grease my droids at night. I grease them every night. Just to pour this grease over my butts.
But she's giving him shit. I like her in this. Like she's, I don't know. I like the character. I love the wig. It's a great wig.
This
top
fucking
wig.
Sigourney Weaver wig she's wearing. Yes. It's awesome.
It's still the space 80s at this point. FYI, let's keep this. It's 5 years after Return of the Jedi. It's space 1988.
That's true. Let's get some fucking elastic headbands on these people.
We need
some
hair metal.
Yeah, really fucking glam this shit up, dude.
Spandex, as far as the eye can see.
So he's. Have we established already like Mando's aversion to like droids working on his shit?
He's just a racist, I think.
I think so, right? Big racist.
He doesn't want anything to do with droids, which is kind of gross.
Is it one of those things where it's like, you know, a droid could be hooked up to a computer or something, and it's like he could possibly be found out?
Right. I
like
guess
they
that's,
could find
that's
his location
fair.
Or something.
Because like in the, you know, in the original trilogy, all those robots were putting their dicks into sockets and sucking in information.
Yeah. Exactly. And they're all fucking crooked, every last one of them.
It just makes me think that he's still just anti-automation.
Right. Yeah, I guess that could be something. Well, you know what? You're flying a fucking spaceship, man. I don't know.
No. I want a frog person working on my goddamn ship.
But it is interesting that this show, which has now been on for only 5 episodes, and we've got 2 major characters with Nick Nolte and now with Amy Sedaris of like mechanics and garage owners.
Yeah, totally, dude.
Quick thing on the droids. It's been a while, a couple episodes since we've watched his family get slaughtered again. Was that by a droid army or was that just by a regular army? Or we do not know.
Wait, when he was a kid?
Yeah.
We see a droid and doing some of the slaughtering, and I believe it's a prequel era droid.
So that's what I'm saying. Maybe that's the problem.
Oh.
Droids killed my family.
Yeah,
that's
there true. You go, Steve.
I'll never trust them after the death of my boy.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something to do with it. You're totally right. So Mando, you know, hires her to do this. He's going to go out and find some work. He's walking through downtown Mos Eisley. Dude, these fucking stormtrooper helmets on the pikes, love it.
Yes.
Excellent. Not welcome.
No.
I do think we obviously have to go to the cantina. I don't know if it's the Sunday morning situation or maybe there's been some downturn in business. Not too bustling in the cantina.
I think because the droids took over. I guess that old bastard died.
That guy was murdered, dude. That guy was a fucking like empire apologist. And when they fucking took the town back over, they murdered that guy.
Or he just left because too many droids were moving into the neighborhood.
Heart attack on a toilet could also be in play.
So they went from famously not serving droids to now being operated by droids.
Right. Take that.
Well, it's the Geico Gecko from Matinee.
Oh, yes, the ant guy. Now, the ant guy looked awesome.
I like the ant guy
around.
Yes.
When he inevitably has some like 12-page character bio on Wikipedia, we should induct him into the Gleep Glossary.
And I would love to. And this
ant guy.
The bartender looks just like EV-99, which was one of Jabba's administrator droids.
Yes. Oh, well, you know, he retired, getting a quieter life now, just tending bar at the cantina.
And another droid cameo, the red guy from A New Hope that doesn't get chosen. I don't know if it's the same guy or if it's a cousin or what. But
oh, man, he's just been fucking hanging out all this time.
R2-D2, he's just hot. That's why he didn't take me. He's hot and I'm not.
Oh, is there a droid hot or not.com?
There'd have to be.
It's called bot or not.com.
I would not have sex with any droids, but if you give me a choice between a nice round R2-D2 and this boxy fucker, you know where I'm going.
Yeah, totally.
Round town. You're taking that round guy to pound town.
R2-D2 has that girth, too.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah, he's thick.
While Mando is in the cantina, we cut back real quick to the docking bay, and Amy Sedaris is playing that card game that they're playing in Solo with
Sabacc.
These droids. Yeah. And Baby Yoda makes his entrance, and she's fucking furious that this child has been left alone on a spaceship. She's got a great line here where she's like tells the droid to go get it some food, and the droid like bleep bloops back to her, and she goes, "I don't know, something with bones in it,"
which is great. Bones, just something with bones in it,
just noshing on some bones.
First, grease me up.
So yeah, he goes up to the bartender and he's like, you know, "Hey, I'm looking for work," and the droid is like, this is not a guild-sanctioned meetup area. Like, you're not going to find any guild work here. To which Mando says he's looking for work outside the guild, and the guy says, like, well, that's going to be even harder or whatever. And this is where we're introduced to Toro Calican, who's, like, a up-and-coming bounty hunter, but he's, like, playing it as if he's, like, this hot shit Han Solo motherfucker, including sitting at the same table, I believe.
It's Bobby Cannavale's son.
Yes. His son. Oh, wow.
Yeah, his son.
Hollywood
with
royalty.
With Jenny Lumet, too. Yeah. Daughter of Sidney Lumet.
Writer of Rachel Getting Married. Great
That's
movie.
Right. So this is some serious Hollywood royalty here. How are we feeling about this Toro Calican character?
He was one of the reasons I wasn't super into this episode. Like, like the turn at the end, but more than not, I just found him kind of annoying and not engaging in any way, shape, or form. It's a fine idea for a character. The performance isn't very good.
Yes, I agree with you there, Steve. Yeah. I feel like it's on the page, it makes total sense, but I feel like it didn't get much life to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I got a very like Unforgiven type relationship, him and the young guy in Unforgiven when he's teaching the young guy how to be a gunslinger.
Oh, yeah, totally. Sure. Yeah. Is he played by anybody that went on to do stuff? Cannon?
He's been in. Oh, you know who he is? Oh God, I hate that I know this. In Gone in 60 Seconds, he's the computer guy.
Oh, nice. Shit! Nice pull. Nice embarrassing pull.
I hate myself.
So this dude Toro Calican's like, "Hey man, I got this puck here. If you want to get in on it with me, we're gonna hunt down Fennec Shand. Is the bounty?" And Mando's like, "Yeah, good luck, buddy."
I like Ming-Na in this as well. She's really great.
Ming-Na Wen fucking rules. You guys may remember her from the S.H.I.E.L.D. show. She's also, of course, the voice of Mulan, among a lot of other voices. She's kind of tied into this Disney world here pretty hardcore now.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so she is Fennec Shand, and Mando's basically like, "Hey man, how long have you been in this guild?" And this, because it's this kind of character, you know, he's just lying and he's like, "Long enough." And he's like, "Well, okay, that's cool. If you were in the guild long enough, you'd know that this lady is super fucking dangerous and you're going to be dead before you get 50 feet out the door."
She killed Lincoln. Do you know that?
Space Lincoln?
Great detail, though, that Mando says that Space Ham Lincoln. Mando says that she used to work for all the heavy hitter crime families, including the fucking Hutts, dude.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, I mean, we're in Tatooine. We might as well say Hutt.
Yeah, no, I was okay with the Hutt reference. It lets you know that there's some shit going on. It's kind of like the Irishman,
that's,
you know?
That's like a crime family that, you know, the lore goes on beyond just this planet.
Oh my God, you know what I would love if you could do? I'm all for not recutting Star Wars in any way, shape, or form, but if you could, you know, in The Irishman, where whenever a new character is introduced, they tell you how he gruesomely dies.
Yes,
you
I love
that
it.
For like Jabba the Hutt, and it's just like you stop, you freeze, it's like choked to death on his own fucking barge. You get Greedo shot to death by Han Solo three times in the head, like that kind of a thing.
And then you use what is the fucking funniest use of that in The Irishman. It cuts to like Nick Nolte's character, and it's just like, was beloved by all, died of natural causes at 87. Dude, I fucking love the tag on that one guy in The Irishman.
Yeah, he's so hilarious. He's a good guy.
Oh, it's fucking great. But yeah, so like Mando agrees to do this. He's going to help this kid out. Because the Calico is like, Calico, what is his name?
He's a calico cat.
Yeah, calico cat.
Toro Cacciatore.
Calican. There we go. Okay. Toro Calican. He's like, by the way, dude, you can like even keep all the fucking money. It's like this dude's trying to get an acting gig so he can get his fucking SAG card.
He's like,
if you help me out here, like you can keep the money. It's just my entry into the guild. Blah blah blah.
But I mean, and it's an old Western thing. But like, it's not a good idea to do that because then they're gonna be like, oh, this guy killed Fennec, whatever her name is. Send him after the next guy. Get shot in the head because he's got no cred, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Now go after like the fucking hardest dude in the galaxy.
It reminds me that there's still an open bounty on Admiral Akbar's son, and I still want that story.
Oh, right. Fuck, I totally forgot about that.
Right, I don't know if he was Akbar's son, but I'm cool with it.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just like a trust fund Mon Calamari guy.
But yeah, I do hope we get to a Kendall Akbar episode somewhere down the road.
Keeping up with the Akbars.
By the way, and then we go on this quest together with this guy, and right. I love showing Tatooine as getting back to the sand dunes.
Yeah,
and really like utilizing the space of this planet. The Tusken Raiders. I thought this was kind of a good scene. We address the Star Wars racism that's been going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a weird, you know, because they're like, hey, they. What does Mando say to him? He's like, you know, they consider themselves the locals and everybody else is a trespasser.
Right, because, what was his name? Toro says that, the locals told me about this filth. And it's like, well, these are actually the indigenous people, you ass.
Yeah, exactly. I like Mando doing this, like, sign language with these guys. Yeah.
That's cool, too. It would make sense to do sign language in this world in general. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to learn every guttural scream, but maybe sign language might make a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm liking these sight gags in The Mandalorian. They have another one here where, like, Toro's looking through the binoculars, the binox, excuse me, at the Tusken Raiders, like way away. Like, are there dewbacks there? Or what are they?
Those are banthas.
The banthas, right.
Yeah, we get a dewback coming up. There's a bounty hunter being dragged by a dewback.
Right.
Like, you know, like a dude that had been shot off his horse.
That's a Tracy Gunn.
All those Gunn brothers?
Shot off his dewback. So then when Mando's like, oh yeah, why don't you tell him that or whatever, and they just like, it's a quick pan to the left and there's two more Tusken Raiders right behind him. Fucking hilarious.
Well, that's close to A New Hope, which is like, you know, Luke's like, oh, there's banthas over there, and he sees them and then he gets surprised by the other guy. Like, I think that's a pretty Clueless reference.
Is that right?
I think so, right? Am I nuts?
Well, I just was referring to, like, because it's the same thing in with, like, when it's the whole stay on the ship gag.
Yes.
And then they
cut
and Baby Yoda's just standing there.
Yeah.
I'm just liking these proximity jokes that they keep making on this show. But you're right. Yeah, there's a similar, like, Tusken Raiders sneaking up on people and whatnot. I love that this fucking bounty hunter has the fob on him, too. The dead guy.
Yeah.
So somebody's got to, we say it every episode, somebody's got to explain these fobs to me. I really need a little something more.
Yeah, I don't know, because it can't be a thing where everyone in the galaxy has a fucking tag in them.
I wish we got that workbench episode. I mean, is it just like a DNA right? thing? Is it like if I find a strand of your hair, I can find you?
I'm telling you, it's midichlorians. We're going to find this out eventually.
But
and
also,
it's
like,
going to make me scream.
Even as a device, you look at a beeping dot, you're like, I know exactly where this guy is. I'm like, wait, how? How are you getting this information?
You know what, though? At the same time, I think I would be totally fine if it's just never explained.
Sure.
Because you know what's an explanation? Is midichlorians.
Yeah, I know.
And you don't need it. You know what I mean? So, like, if it's just like, beep, boop, bop, I'm fucking looking for Mando, whatever. You know, beep, boop, blop, this one says I'm looking for Baby Yoda. Fine, fuck it. We got bigger fish to fry here on The Mandalorian.
That's fair.
they're granted passage. I love all the speeder through the desert. All of this shit looks awesome.
I was going to say, I don't think it looked that great, honestly.
What? What the fuck do you expect? My God.
Am I nuts? Or maybe I'm the only one.
I don't know, man.
My only problem was the night scenes. I found it incredibly difficult to see anything.
Oh, really?
Like, I had to shut off. I'd like... pulled all the blinds in my fucking house, and like I turned up the brightness on my TV. Well, I could barely see it.
Listen, Chris, when the Mandalorian's on, you prepare for that. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's right. You got to get the right settings.
Exactly. You get the house nice and dark. You pour your little your scotch, and you go down. And you have yourself a little Mandalorian film festival.
Eric, I had my robe and my lube. Okay, I just didn't have my drink.
Oh, grease in the pot, dude.
Grease in the pot.
I will say, Cabin, I watched this episode twice. Once was on Friday night, like middle of the night. I did have all the lights off, and it was totally rad. I rewatched it this morning, you know, just had it on before we did this. Yeah, it is hard to see, but I mean, I'm not going to blame a television program for, you know, the brightness of my house.
Oh, sure.
I mean, people want to have bright stuff, whatever. I mean... But as far as the quality of it, though, I don't know, Steve. Was I just mystified by these, you know, seeing these speeders? I thought it looked pretty good.
I mean, maybe for whatever reason, that was like the one time on this show the special effects felt left me a little lacking, but that's just maybe me.
I mean, I guess maybe it's a thing where like it's not, you know, like the darkness of space where you can kind of get away with it's a little more forgiving. This is like the bright of day, middle of the desert. It's literally the only thing you can see.
The aesthetic was cool, though, because you want, I mean, like, that's what, again, like what you're talking about, that's one of those things you want in these shows is to explore what you've seen, but in a different way, and we've never really seen, like, going over the dunes, except for in pretty cool video games.
Yeah, no, you're totally true. You're totally right, rather. So they come across this fucking dewback, this dude's dead, Mando finds the fob, and the second he sees, like, what the fob says... He's like, oh, fuck me. And then so we start having some Fennec firepower here. I mean, you don't really know it's Fennec, but I guess you can glean from it. Right. Mando takes one right in the fucking heart, dude. Thank God for that Beskar.
Well, in the back, right? And thankfully, the Beskar held up at that range.
I love the line here when he gets back to the dune and he's like, you know, hit me in the Beskar. The Beskar held up. And Calican goes, I don't wear any Beskar. And Mando's just like, nope.
Sucks to be you.
It's a total sucks to be you line. Like, I really don't give a fuck if you're dead, dude. Whatever.
I was half expecting them to pull a Barry Pepper and Save a Private Ryan and, like, have Fennec looking through the sight and Mando is, like, on his sight right back at her and just shoots.
Oh.
I liked her helmet here. It reminded me a lot of Attack of the Clones, that other bounty hunter, that like one that turns into jelly.
The one that like was like a shapeshifter for no reason.
Yeah.
Like Zam Wezel, I think.
Yes. The helmet reminded me very similar of her.
The one that they like chase through the city?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Which goes to your thing, Eric, that we're doing a lot of prequely stuff in these new things.
The pit droids alone.
Of course.
Yeah.
There you go, guys. And I feel like get ready. I mean, this is like going to be a prequel renaissance coming up, and I'm worried.
What is there to be worried about? Like, who cares?
I'm
like,
scared.
Of what? They're just showing little fucking background details of these things.
Well, you know, we were just disparaging Metachlorians, and I think Chris is right. I think we're going to be hearing that word coming up.
The M word. No, thank you.
I feel like you just saw the end of Solo and saw Darth Maul and thought prequels like, there's been a disturbance.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, I was okay with that turn in Solo because I thought they were going to do something with it. It turns out they're not. But I was thinking maybe they're going to close that Darth Maul thread in the Obi-Wan series.
I'd be into that. I'd be way into that.
I feel like that's the natural conclusion is let's get these two back together.
Is what's his name still in good enough shape to do that? What, Ray Park, is that his name?
Yeah. Yes. I don't. I guess he played him in Solo. I'm not too sure.
Oh, did he?
I don't know.
Well, I guess he's got those fake fucking Kenneth Branagh Wild Wild West legs now. So.
Well, yeah, and Ray Park has new titanium knees.
Yeah. Darth Maul's just obsessed with fucking spiders now. He's a weirdo, man.
Total weirdo. So Mando's like, all right, we're going to wait till nightfall then. I'm going to take a nap in these dunes here. So they wait until night. There's this weird, like, I don't know what this kid's trying to do here when he's, like, waking him up. I guess it's, like,
I think I'm like, fun, cool. Like, oh, I'm a cool bounty hunter, man.
It's another right. instance of me being like, you're trying really hard to make me not like this character.
This just in from the internet ticker. It was Ray Park in Solo, but the voice was replaced. They replaced Peter Serafinowicz with Sam Witwer, who did the voice on Rebels and Clone Wars.
Sam Witwer, you have to go back and do the voice of Darth Maul.
You found these glasses, Sam Witwer.
And then he gives Darth Maul Transformer technology, which is the legs.
Of course, yeah. Of course.
Oh, it all checks out now. Now all that has to happen is Disney has to buy Paramount, and then we can have the fucking Transformers Star Wars movie we've all been waiting
Honestly,
for.
Honestly, if they bought Paramount or they were going to try to, all these people on the internet would be like, yay! Yay!
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah, oh, of course they would. Of course they would.
Transformers on Disney Plus!
I hope that Disney buys me and melts my body down into ash and then uses that ash into the celluloid of the new Star Wars movie. Then guess what? I'm in the new Star Wars movie, guys.
Oh, good Yay! Call, dude. You finally made it. You hit the big time.
That's the only way we're getting in.
Ash level or bust. So yeah, the whole thing is like, all right, we're going to fucking charge the hill that she's on in the night. Mando's got these awesome, like, flares that are blinding her.
This is a cool specific. I like this.
Yeah, totally. This is a nice sequence here. So they run at her. These things are blinding her. She can't really get a shot off. She does knock Mando off his speeder, which allows this fucking Calican guy to get in there.
Because she shoots the bike, right?
Yes.
It's like shooting a horse out from under someone. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, totally. And he sort of like falls forward just the way like you would fall off a horse if that happened. Pretty cool.
Definitely.
Oh, and also the other thing that's really annoying about, sorry, but right before they race her toward her, he's definitely fucking calling Mando old man. Like, how the fuck do you know how old this guy is?
Well, he's older than me.
I do like this sequence you're referencing because, like, Mando's resting while this dude does first watch and he's going to go wake him up. And he's just, like, asleep or so we think. And it's like a cowboy with the hat over his face type of thing.
Totally.
Absolutely.
And he's just letting this jerk just, like, run his mouth, you know, show his true colors.
Yeah, so, no, good call.
So this kid starts calling him Mando pretty instantly, and then obviously Carla Weathers had called him Mando previously, which I thought was like a term of endearment between the two of them. But so it's like Mando, a short term for Mandalorian that everyone's into, and or is it racist?
I think I have heard, I think there was a series of novels by Karen Travis that I never read that dealt more with the Mandalorian stuff, and I think Mando was a shorthand in that.
Okay.
But I mean, he's still the Mandalorian with no name, so.
Yes, for sure.
I don't think they're using it as a slight against him, though, Steve, to your question.
Couple of fucking Mandos over here.
I think it's like, got some Mandos coming in the cantina.
Like, I'm not going to call you Mandalorian every time. It's like shortening Chewbacca to Chewie.
Bruce, exactly.
Bruce Willis is in the middle of Tatooine with a board that says, I hate Mandos.
Oh, fuck, dude. Tomorrow there's 1,000 stormtroopers here all with itchy trigger fingers. So probably one of my favorite sequences in the episode is fucking Toro getting his ass handed to him by Fennec. This is pretty
Love it.
Great. Great fight here. He's getting the shit kicked out of him.
We got some MMA moves coming up here, which are fun to look at.
Yeah, totally, dude. A couple of arm bar. What the fuck is the move?
I think it's an arm bar, I would call
it. Yeah. Yeah, which is pretty great. I noticed the second time around, they definitely insert like a popping sound when she's pulling on his arm. Pretty
That's
great.
That's pretty cool.
So, and then Mando like sneaks up behind them, and it's kind of a great. What does he say to him? He's like, "Whoa, that's a good distraction," or something.
Yes,
like that.
Yeah.
You getting your fucking ass kicked, partner.
So he locks her up, right? And it's kind of a cool thing. There's this weird bit of like, who's going to go get the dewback? And
oh, right.
The kid doesn't want to, obviously, because he thinks that Mandalorian's going to run off with his stuff.
Yeah.
And this is what I kind of like. I really like the Ming-Na Wen performance of her, like, convincing this kid to go rogue. Mm-hmm.
She's definitely doing some fucking, like, Hannibal Lecter psychological shit here with him.
Yes.
But before Mando leaves, he says that she's no good to us dead, which is a Fett reference.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I appreciated that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was into that, too.
Oh, there is a great line too. Right after Mando, like, you know, comes and saves the day right here, he totally gives Calican a little fucking go get your fucking shine box line.
Oh, right.
He's like, why don't you go find your blaster, you little fucking baby. So yeah, there's the debate about who's gonna go get it. Mando's like, all right, fucking fine. I'll go walk and get this dude back. You hang here with the one working speeder and the hostage here. So yeah, she starts talking shit like, you know, Mando's armor is worth way more than my fucking bounty. Also, he's definitely the same Mandalorian from Navarro that shot up the fucking guild and stole this hostage. Some say it's a baby. And Calican has seen Baby Yoda back at Mos Eisley right before they speed off to go find her. So you see him be all like, say, he does have that baby kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a great moment. Like we said, I'm not crazy about this performance, but it is badass right here. Dude gets up, even holsters the blaster, you know, to come up to her like, all right, I'll let you go and whatever. And then just fucking shoots her right in the gut.
Yeah.
It's a good cool, Western shot, too.
It's a cool twist, especially because, like, you see Ming-Na Wen, you're like, oh, well, she's going to be in this episode or maybe in multiple episodes. It's a nice, like, fake out with a lead performance. I like that they're getting people that are recognizable, so you don't know who's going to live or who's going to die. And also, it's not the Law and Order thing where it's like, well, that guy's the killer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It just makes it for fun. You know, it's smart casting that way because it's fun, like twists and turns like this. You really don't know, you know, the outcome of a bunch of these things. And also, pretty fucked up Calican shooting this handcuffed person, by the way.
He's duplicitous. Oh, yes. He's an awful person.
Yeah, no, it's pretty great.
It's cold.
So, yeah, then he fucking speeds off, going back clearly to Mos Eisley. Fucking Mando rides up and just sees this death scene. He's like, oh, man.
Well, that's the Christmas present for Baby Yoda.
Oh, yeah, that's something with bones in it. Feed it to it.
We got one. It's kind of weird though, because like Mando gets back pretty fast for having to ride this slow ass dude back the whole way.
I mean, it's dark out, you know. It was an all day situation, I guess.
Oh, I guess that's true. Oh, also a nice detail. And I guess Eric, it's technically a prequel mention. So, did it bother you that Fennec was going to Mos Espa?
No, it didn't, because I feel like if we've expanded again, you know, I obviously don't like the prequel stuff, but if we've expanded Tatooine in the canon, I buy that there's more than one town. Although I would like an Anchorhead mention, or maybe the famous Tashi Station.
Perhaps. Dude, some of this shit, dude. Let's see Anchorhead. Yeah. What's going on over there?
Yeah,
it would be rad if we saw Tashi Station, though. We could really find out once and for all if Luke was just there fucking doing a bunch of spice with his buddies.
Yeah, I want to see like a fucking arcade with cheap swill and all these kids huffing spice in the parking lot.
Yeah, right. Walter Hill's Tashi Station.
Oh, fuck, dude, yes. It couldn't be any worse than Walter Hill's last movie. Yikes.
Yeah.
So we get back to Docking Bay 3-5 or whatever it was. And so clearly Toro has Baby Yoda and Peli hostage. Mando comes back in here. There's a nice Western line here. Drop your blaster and raise him.
I kind of expected Amy Sedaris to get inside that big yellow space crusher thing and fight him. That'd be cool. Stay away from him, you bitch.
Or just like drop a car on this Toro Calico guy.
Oh, fuck. That would be awesome.
Space car.
So it's a kind of a cool thing here, though. Like he gives Calican gives Amy Sedaris like these handcuffs and he's like, you know, go cuff him up or whatever. And Mando's got this little like fucking bomb thing in his hand. And
yeah, the flash from before. I love
Okay.
I love that they bring that back. You know, like it's been set up and used such a good way. And I, for some reason, wasn't expecting it in this moment.
It's pretty awesome. She's got a great line here. What did she say? She's like, "You're smarter than you look," or something like that. there's a bit of a distraction here. Mando just fucking shoots this dude dead.
While he's holding Baby Yoda, which is what I love about it, the zero hesitation.
Yep, just got to do it, dude. Fucking fight or flight. You have to do it. Toro drops dead here, and then they run over like, oh, Baby Yoda, where's Baby Yoda? And I guess Baby Yoda just used like a, is it a quick little force jump, you think, just to like scurry out of the way?
Possibly, yeah.
Because he really just kind of like disappears. It's pretty great. So he kind of comes out from behind a little box like, hey, it's cool. I'm all right.
One part I love about this is that Amy Sedaris tells those pit droids after Mando leaves to drag the corpse to Beggar's Canyon.
Yes, dude, it's so awesome. She's like, I don't know what we should do with it. Drop it in Beggar's Canyon. How many corpses are being left in that canyon?
A lot. The answer's a lot. That the fat guy that was running the cantina is in Beggar's Canyon right now.
Well, his fucking skeleton, dude. He's been picked clean. Those Jawas ate the shit out of him.
Look, I'm all out of grease. Use his blood to grease you up.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the end of it. Mando pays her. I guess, is the idea he fucking, like, robbed Fennec or something?
I believe there has to be something like that. Or maybe it was Toro's credits. I don't know.
I think it was Toro's credits. I think he picks them up off of him, I think.
Gotcha, okay.
But, yeah, that's where that money came from, either right. from one of them. But, yeah. I like that she's it's a good sell of a bit of acting of because the Star Wars money is so incomprehensible. But like you can tell that she now has much more than she would have asked for because she's just like, oh, yeah, this will cover it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really totally. Cool.
Yeah. And then we get a teaser at the very end. And there's been some stupid Internet theories going around about this. Did you guys notice this right at the at Fennec's corpse? We cut back to it. There's feet walking up to it, and they have the spur sounds, which is a Mando sound now. And so people were theorizing, like, oh, is it Boba Fett? And I would be like, that would undermine this entire show.
Exactly. And also, we heard Mando clinking around with him also, so I think it's just like a, you know, Mandalorian thing.
Just a Western affectation.
In general,
yeah. I bet you it's going to be Bill Burr or something, because I know he's coming up in this show. They're probably setting up some other character.
But I wouldn't put it past them, though, like to pit the old icon with the new icon.
You think so?
I think they could agree. It's in play. It wouldn't surprise me either way. Because, you know, Fett's death has been, you know, much conjectured whether or not he died, and they've never actually went one way or another. It wouldn't surprise me. I agree, it shouldn't be, and it would probably, unless they did it really, really well, cheapen the whole thing. But
it would be uncomfortable for me, because now I'm going to have to, like, rooting, like, which one do I want to live?
Oh, shit, good call, dude. You're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Well, yeah. I mean, we do know that Disney would never cheapen anything just to get a good audience boost.
Well, I got to say, I feel that's true. I could see them doing some big thing to try to, because they made this a long time ago, right? They shot all this a while back. Mm-hmm. So if Baby Yoda didn't hit like it hit, you know, they would need something else to bring it into the public consciousness. But
yeah,
I feel like this show has been handled very well so far. That
yes,
I kind of trust what they're going to do anyway, I guess.
I would lose respect for the show for sure.
Yeah, yes. I would.
Yeah. I think I.
But
I'd
keep watching. I'd keep watching.
Of course.
I'd be like season five. Yeah.
It's nice to see, too, that the first episode, not written by the Favs, didn't go completely off the rails or anything like that.
Yeah, that's nice.
I mean, you have someone who's been in the world for years already, so it's like, you know, Dave Filoni's not some, you know, rookie guy or whatever.
No, totally. Right.
He ain't green to the Star Wars universe. All right, well, considering this was supposed to be the Mandalorian half hour and we're really fucking going here, let's get to the grading for this week's episode. Steve Zadek, you want to start us off there?
I would go with a C, just a total C, like not the worst episode, not the best episode. Maybe it is the worst episode, actually. I don't know. This kid really takes me out of it. I like that it's really short. It's probably one of the shorter episodes. It's like exactly 30. I like some of the twists. Ming-Na Wen was good. Amy Sedaris was good. I liked seeing Tatooine again. So just to see.
Mm-hmm. Chris Cabin?
Good B-. I like this. Like, this was kind of more where I was going. Like, my problem with the last one was, like, it's just a straight copy of Seven Samurai. This, like, the little Unforgiven thing, like, that relationship, I kind of like that he's really, really annoying because it makes me feel that, like, rage and frustration with him
right.
that Mando must be dealing with. So I didn't have much problems with this one.
I'll probably give it about a B or a B plus. It's not my favorite episode. I did enjoy it. I had a lot of fun with it. I feel like the pit droids took me out of it. That actor's performance took me out of it. I enjoyed it more on the second go, because maybe I just knew what to, brace for impact about.
Well, you punched the wall when you remembered the pit droids, and then you got it out of your system.
You should see my walls, Chris. Swiss cheese.
So many fist holes. What? I'd say I think this so far for me is the weakest episode. I'll give it probably like a B minus. And it really is because I could just not get into this fucking Toro Calican performance. The pit droids, I did not mind. I was fine with the pit droids. I could not get into this dude, and it stunk because, it's a cool Western archetype character that you've seen in a lot of different Westerns. And yes, it's, supposed to be annoying or whatever, but I don't know. It was just a little too, he's doing a little too like Han Solo and Oscar Isaac kind of Star Wars character for me. And I didn't get into it.
You know, they should have cast like Lee Van Cleef.
Sure.
Just fucking do Tarkin Town on him and bring him in.
I was going to say, are you going to resurrect Lee Van Cleef?
No, I think the Van Cleef estate is very clearly, you will not fucking Tarkin our grandfather.
No, they're cool with it. And he's going to also be the villain in that fucking James Dean war movie.
Oh, Jesus.
That's what the Screen Actors Guild really needs to do, is on their next fucking negotiation is be like, you are not allowed to fucking steal our essence after we're dead.
Yes.
Thanks, but no thanks.
They really should clamp down on that and even take away like the estate's rights to a degree. I mean, they should still get royalties or whatever deal they got now, but recycling these people is just it's
ghoulish.
It's ghoulish, and it's like anti-acting. It's like you're not acting. That's just a computer.
I hate it. I hate it so much. So that is the Mandalorian half hour for this week. We are down to only episodes 6, 7, and 8 left, right? There's only 8?
Yep.
Yep.
So we're getting down to the wire here in the first season of The Mandalorian. But until next week, thank you for continuing to support this Patreon endeavor. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
And we have spoken.